You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here to get into week 8 of the college football season, which means the Badgers are back on the road for the first time in, it seems like forever, first time in 5-6 weeks here that the Badgers are heading back on the road to Illinois. So we're going to get right into that. Matt, how you doing, and what are your initial thoughts on the Illinois Fighting Illini?
I'm doing great. Today, obviously, we're recording on a Wednesday night, so just got done with the day job, the 9-to-5, so ready to talk a little Badger football. In terms of Illinois, I think they're a team that obviously they were projected to, you know, be a bowl contending type team, you know, and I think it's Lovie Smith's fourth season now. A lot of people had high hopes for him coming in. Thus far, you know, they've lost their last four after beating Akron and UConn. So they're kind of scuffling a bit. It'll be interesting to see how fired up the Badgers come out against them, because this is going to be a big game for Illinois at home. They just were able to come back a little bit against Michigan towards the end of that game. So they have some ability, especially with a couple skilled players on offense and a couple transfer players on the defensive side as well. So it'll just be a big thing about the Badgers doing what they normally do. I know that Paul Christ always talks about doing that. What's new with you, man?
You know, not too much. Been another normal day at the 9-to-5 as well. But, you know, talking Illinois, you know, I think it's one of those games that they're an interesting team because, like you said, they had some expectations preseason that were a little bit higher than what they've achieved. Obviously, they beat Akron and UConn. But you look at those two wins, those are two of the worst teams in college football. So you don't really know what this team is. Obviously, like you said, they made a run against Michigan last week, and you made that game a little tighter where all of a sudden maybe you saw glimpses of them. But overall, I think Illinois is a little bit worse than people think. And so it'll be interesting to see which Illinois team you see. If you see the team that beat those two lesser opponents early on in the season, or do you get the team that played fairly well, at least in the second half against Michigan, or do you get the team that lost Eastern Michigan and turned the ball over and really struggled, you know, a couple weeks ago and got ran over like they did against Minnesota. So depending on where they're at, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what shakes out for Illinois. And I think part of that kind of speaks to the Badgers in this situation. Obviously, you have Ohio State next week, and then you've got them going back on the road this week. It's been, you know, 6 weeks since Wisconsin's left Madison for a football game. So obviously that's something where a spot for them, where maybe they're in a look-ahead spot, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. just going back on the road is something new that this team will have to get readjusted to and get used to. So Matt, you know, how does Wisconsin get readjusted to that going back on the road and playing in a road environment this week?
You know, I actually think it's great for the team to be in this road environment. It kind of is a nice precursor for that Ohio State game where you're on the road and it's going to be a big game environment. This game obviously won't have the same flair, but being on the road is just a different feel. You know, you're not staying in the same hotel. You're not staying, you know, eating the same meals. You're not going through the same day-by-day prep that you normally would. So it'll be something that they'll have to get used to. But at the same time, you know, they handled their business down in South Florida like as good as you could have hoped for. So it's been a while since they have been on the road, but it's also, I would think it would be something for them to be excited about, you know, leaving the friendly confines of Camp Randall and going to take their talents on the road.
Yeah, and it's something different for them. Obviously, they've had six straight weeks at home, and they've really, you know, taken advantage of that and played really well in that home stand. But now it's something new. So a new environment, maybe something that to shake things up a bit. So I'd kind of agree that it's a good test to get out of Camp Randall for a little bit, because you're going to have to go on the road in some crucial games, especially, you know, if you get to a Big Ten championship or, you know, a bowl game. Obviously, you're going to have to go on the road that way and play, you know, out of your environment. You're not going to play every football game at Camp Randall, so it's good to get back into it. And I think it's really good that they're playing on the road before going to Ohio State in a way, because, like you said, you get acclimated to that, you know, environment and get back into the routine of not having the same routine in a way. So I think it's going to be important for them to take advantage of that. And I think, you know, when you see what Illinois has and what you're going to be doing, it's kind of a nice little precursor to that Ohio State game. But obviously the focus still has to be on Illinois. And I think that's something that a lot of Badger fans are looking at and saying, okay, you know, next week is Ohio State. You know, it's a possible, you know, undefeated matchup, top five, six teams in the country squaring off in Columbus. Are you worried at all that Wisconsin is maybe, you know, maybe kind of a sandwich spot with having such a dominating home stand and then Ohio State next week, in addition to, you know, the, you know, just a letdown spot of going on the road, you know, when you're looking ahead? Are you worried at all that the Badgers are in for maybe a flat spot here?
I think you're always worried about something like that happening. The Badgers have looked so good so far this season, and we all know that a lot of that has been at home other than that first away game. So it's going to be a big test for them to kind of make sure that they're coming out and playing right away. I know that the team has really embodied Fayon Hicks with the no switch thing, where he's going out and that was something he had learned in high school. And I'd hope that they actually bring that to town, because Illinois is going to have their homecoming. It's going to be a big environment for them in terms of what they normally do. I've been to Champaign for games. It's not a raucous environment by any means. So it's one of those things where it can kind of lull you to sleep a little bit. You know, the Badgers had struggled, I think it was 2 years ago when they were on the road against Illinois. So it's one of those things where you got to be prepared. You got to come out firing. And if they're not, I think it is in the back of your mind where, oh man, we got to hit halftime and kind of start getting back to business. So hopefully the Badgers come out fast, because I think if they do come out fast, like they have been scoring on, you know, five of their six first drives of the year, other than last weekend, that they'll have the game in hand, I think, the rest of the way. But if they come out slow, can't get the offense going, I'm not too worried about the defense, but if the offense can't get the ball going, that's when you start, you know, it starts playing in the back of your head, and you start, you know, being all up in your feelings about the stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think you obviously have to be concerned with the fact that they have been at home for 6 weeks and that maybe they've settled into that routine. But at the same time, this is still, you know, a place that a lot of these guys have been to before and played in. I'd be more so worried, you know, not so much about them going on the road, but just the look ahead spot. I know they're obviously, everybody's interested in the Ohio State game, but at the same time, you've had this team kind of play in a similar situation where you've had Akron, or excuse me, Kent State before a big game, and you've had Central Michigan before the Michigan game, where you thought maybe you could see a flat spot, and they haven't. I mean, they outscored that, you know, those two games like almost 100-0. So you have to, you know, be happy from what you've seen in similar spots like this, but obviously this will be the biggest one. Because they're in that road environment, and they have an even bigger game, next week with Ohio State, who I think is clearly heads and tails better than anything they've, you know, played with Michigan and Michigan State. So overall, I think you certainly have to have those thoughts in the back of your mind. But like you said, you know, if they can come out and play fast in that first quarter and do what they did, like they did on down in South Florida, all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, what were we ever worried about? And I think that same thing can play out this week with Illinois, but we're going to have to wait and see. And, you know, speaking of Illinois from a personnel standpoint, I can't imagine a lot of Wisconsin fans are super familiar with anyone on the team other than maybe, you know, Brandon Peters at quarterback, because they played against them when he was at Michigan. And then, of course, Reggie Corbin, you know, who's been there for a couple of years now. He played a little bit in 2017 and then had a 100-yard game in 2018 against the Badgers, but a lot of that was on one play a season ago. But Corbin is definitely their star. Do you think he'll kind of be the main focus for Wisconsin's defense going against Illinois' offense, given their passing struggles?
I think it has to be. You know, both him and Dre Brown, the other senior running back that they have, both have some pop. Reggie Corbin, obviously, he's been a 1,000-yard rusher in the Big Ten, which is not easy to do. Last season, they were the 12th-ranked running attack in the entire nation, and that hasn't materialized this year, but they still have the running backs to do it. The offensive line has kind of hit the struggle bus a little bit, but those running backs, you know, it just takes a play, similar to how Reggie Corbin was able to bust one last year. It's one of those things where if he gets going, he can make some plays on his own and make his own money, kind of like Jonathan Taylor does at times, where it looks like he's dead in the backfield, and then all of a sudden he squirts for a, you know, 30-yard game. I was just going to say, they have wide receivers. Like, that's not the issue. The quarterbacks just haven't been able to get him the ball. I've been wanting to say Josh Amatorbebe all day long. So he's a stud. He's from USC. He transferred over as a grad transfer, and he's leading the nation, or tied for the nation lead, with 5 touchdowns. So they have guys. Ricky Smalling's good, but if they need quarterback play to start actually getting them the ball, and it'll be interesting to see if Brandon Peters or Matthew Robinson actually get the call this week, with Peters being hurt last week.
And I didn't have this in the, you know, in the notes pre-show, but what do you think of Illinois with all those transfers? I mean, how do you think, you know, for Levy Smith doesn't seem like a coach that, you know, has a lot of confidence from the fan base right now, but they still landed a lot of guys that's worked out. So what do you think of that, you know, as for a program like Illinois?
Yeah, they have 3 or 4 transfers starting on each side of the ball, which is just unheard of. I know a lot of people are kind of, you know, raising their noses towards the transfer portal, but I think it also helps a team like Illinois, who was down. They didn't have necessarily the talent base that they needed to compete in the Big Ten. They went out and got some guys like Imatorbebe, and another guy in terms on the defense in Owale Bedeku. He's a dude in terms of getting to the quarterback, and they wouldn't be the same team if they weren't able to kind of bring in some of those talented players from around the nation. But it is an interesting concept that doesn't usually work at a lot of different places, because you need that cohesion that, say, the Badgers have, where everybody's getting along and used to one another.
Yeah, and the thing about, you know, like, I don't even know how to say his last name. I was going to bring him up, but his name is a challenge. But, I mean, you look at the stats, like you said, you know, with him getting to the quarterback, he's ranked in the top 5 in sacks on the season. And, you know, we talked, you know, you see how much national media talk about a guy like Chase Young at Ohio State. He's only one spot behind him. So you can see, if this guy was playing at a bigger name school, all of a sudden, you know, he could be in discussions, you know, the same way Chase Young is. So they do have some guys that can really, you know, play well and are solid athletes and solid football players. It's just they don't have, you know, that at every position, like in Ohio State or Wisconsin or you know, bigger blue blood teams like that. So they need to land these transfer guys. And I think, you know, for a team, I know it hasn't shown record wise for Illinois, but it certainly benefits them that guys are willing to go there and get their, you know, not so much a second chance, but another shot, you know, at a big program like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for Illinois, at least under Lovie Smith, and in the future if he's still there or if they move on. I know there's been some you know, Lovie Smith hot seat discussions, but I'm going to ask Patrick Catesone of the Champagne Room that a little later in fan confidence in Smith. But, you know, going back to Reggie Corbin, you know, obviously, like we said, he's a stud and a really talented and underrated runner. You know, this league is so deep with tailbacks, with Taylor and J.K. Dobbins and a whole host of other guys. So how good of a test is having Reggie Corbin the week before you go against a guy like J.K. Dobbins?
I think it'll be good. It'll help them, you know, focus in on a particular player that they know they need to maintain and kind of contain at all times. My question for you is, do you think he's probably the best running back they've gone against so far? Like in terms of like credibility wise?
I think so. I mean, you know, he's in 1,000-yard rusher in a really tough conference. Obviously people talked about Jordan Cronkite from South Florida coming into the season, but he really hasn't panned out the way Corbin, you know, as he has. And, you know, obviously Reggie Corbin, he's had a good game the last couple weeks. He started out a little slow, but I think so. I mean, what do you think? Because I can't think of anybody else. And I mean, you look at just his track record, he was a 1,000-yard rusher in the Big Ten. He's got to be the best one that they've gone against so far.
Yeah, I think so, especially with both Michigan and Michigan State running with freshman running backs. It's one of those things where they haven't had to go against a big time running back. So I think Corbin's probably the best, obviously, before they see Dobbins a week from Saturday. What is your thoughts on the offense and what they might do?
I was thinking with Wisconsin, you know, I was thinking that from a couple different ways that, you know, we talked about Illinois' pass rush defense or pass, you know, rush. Obviously, you know, they're 43rd in team sack. So the one bright spot of that team has been their front seven getting after the quarterback. So maybe they just, you know, go to keep it on the run or keep it on the ground simply because they know that the big threat for Illinois' defense is in the pass rush game. And at the same time, you know, Illinois really struggled against the run. They're like 107th in rushing defense. So you kind of see that obviously they've struggled. They got tore up against Minnesota a couple weeks ago against the run. And at the same time, I was kind of thinking maybe you just try and run the ball and go with your basic plays and try to win this game with kind of similar to where they played in Northwestern. Now hopefully they execute better, but kind of similar to Northwestern where they're going to try and use their simple stuff so they don't put a lot of that stuff on tape like for Ohio State to see, and you know, that whether it be the jet sweeps or some new stuff to try and, you know, not give any help to Ohio State because they're a team that doesn't need any. So I'm expecting a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor and Nakia Watson again. But what are your thoughts?
I think that's the way to go. I agree with you. You know, they're giving up over 200 yards on the ground a game. The Badgers are obviously putting up about 250 on the ground. I would expect that the Badgers give a healthy dose of Jonathan Taylor, obviously Nakia Watson. I'm interested to see if they can get Garrett Groshek going a little bit. They did a lot in the fall camp with him in the backfield, making plays with Jonathan Taylor. You know, is this the game that they kind of bring that out, unveil it a little bit more, or is that something they're really holding on to until they see an Ohio State, for example? So I think you definitely want to run the ball. You also want to get Jack Cohn a continued presence in the offense. You know, he's just been dynamite, and he's been huge for the offense in general. But I think you can lean on the ground game to kind of get this one done, especially if you can jump out to an early lead, which I think is the most pertinent thing to do.
Yeah, I would agree. Hopefully they can hop out to a strong lead the way they have, and, you know, just keep the ball on the ground and get guys in, and, you know, hopefully get guys out and stay healthy. The last thing you want is anybody going down the week before Ohio State is a game like that. And, you know, obviously we'll see what happens and go from there on the offensive side. But that's all we've got on our note sheet. But of course, we always do the final score predictions for this one. Badgers on the road, homecoming against Illinois. Matt, what are you thinking for your score for this week?
Well, now we actually have to really think about it because Bob's gone ahead and given us a spreadsheet tracking our margin of error. So for our site, at least, the spread is what, like 31, I think I saw?
Yeah, it was 31 last I looked when I was writing my betting preview this morning. So,
whew, that's a lot of points. I think it's going to be a smidge closer than that. But I could also see them, you know, running away with it like they have been. So I'll go with the Badgers 42-13. So just barely around that bubble, but maybe not quite to the 31 threshold.
Yeah, I'm in the same, similar boat. I've been kicking a few different things around because, like we said earlier, Illinois has only beaten two of the worst teams in college football, and they've gotten beaten by some lesser teams in Eastern Michigan. So I'm not really sure what to make of them quite yet. I've got 42-7 down right now, which would be the Badgers covering and the under, which is what I had in my betting preview, at least for right now. I've kicked a few different things back and forth. But I'm going to go with 42-7 because I can't buy into a team that has struggled so bad against the run, against Wisconsin, obviously 107th in rushing defense for them. And then on the offense side of the ball, they're even worse with their total offense, 111th in total offense. So I don't see a lot of bright spots for Illinois. I really like Reggie Corbin and some of the transfers they've got, but so far it hasn't really panned out. So I've got 42-7. Matt's got, 49-13, did you say, or 42-13?
All right, well, I was originally going to go with 42, but I'm looking back at their scores. They're giving up like 40 points a game. Screw it. I'm going to say 52-10.
There we go. There we go. Even higher. I like to hear that.
Yeah,
like
they'll cover. Screw it. I was trying to be too pretty with it.
Yeah, the Badgers are 5-1 against the spread, so they have covered a lot, but Illinois is 3-1 at home. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out for the Badgers in week 8. Matt, that's all I've got. Unless you've got anything else, we'll go ahead and we'll get to a quick ad read, and then we'll kick it over to our interview with Patrick Cates on. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All righty. Well, guys, thanks for listening. On Wisconsin, make sure you stick around. We've got a couple ad reads for you, and then we're going to kick it to the interview. Patrick's going to come on the show and give us a preview on what's gone right with Illinois and more so what's gone wrong, as obviously they've struggled a little bit so far this season. All right, Badger fans, I am now welcome and join Patrick Catazone, and I just asked him his last name, and I already almost screwed it up. So he is from the Champagne Room, which is SB Nation's Illinois site, and they're one of the interesting follows on Twitter. They've got a lot of good insight on the Illinois game, and they always have a lot of commentary on the Illini. So if you're looking for another team perspective outside of us at Bucky's Fifth Quarter, go and check those guys out. They do a great job over that site. Patrick, thanks for joining the show. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We love having anybody from on the SB Nation platform. Obviously, we like to help get other sites out there and stuff like that, and we appreciate getting an insider perspective on the Fighting Illini. And to be honest with you, I don't think most Wisconsin fans have probably seen a lot of Illinois yet this season. I've caught a few games. I caught a little bit of that Eastern Michigan one and a little bit of the Michigan game last week. But, just from your perspective, what has gone right for Illinois so far this season, and what's gone wrong in 2019?
Yeah, well, there's not a whole lot that's gone right for the Illini. I would say that the recruiting and getting in transfers is probably the only thing that we've really done right. I don't know if you're familiar with Josh Amortebebe, obviously Brandon Peters and Trayvon Sidney, Mel Eifer, all guys that we transferred in here hoping that they would be big impact players. And so far, most of them have, specifically Josh Amortebebe at wide receiver. He's been really impressive, but a lot has gone wrong. A lot has gone wrong with Lovie Smith, particularly. I'm sure as a Badger fans are familiar with him with his time with the Bears. But the biggest issue really with the Illini right now is just a scheme issue. He still runs the Tampa 2. So defensively, we have gotten burned almost every single game because we cannot cover anything. The middle of the field's almost always open. Other than that, Bobby Rountree, who was probably our top player on defense, unfortunately couldn't be here this season because he got into an off-season incident where he basically did a backflip off a boat and landed wrong in the water. So he hasn't been with us this season too. So there's been a lot gone wrong with the Illini this year.
Well, you touched on Lovie Smith, and that was kind of be my second question because – from a Wisconsin perspective, if you haven't paid a lot of attention to him, obviously, the name Lovie Smith, like you said, from the NFL, and obviously, had some success with the Bears. But overall, it just hasn't really seemed to pan out so far at Illinois. So I wanted to ask you just, not so much about the game in this question, but Lovie Smith overall, are fans still confident in that this might turn around under Smith, or is it more so that they are maybe ready to see a change and have him on the hot seat?
I'd say it's about, I want to say 50-50. but it's probably moved a little bit more towards 30-70. People want him out. The thing is, his recruiting in the last class was really good. We got Isaiah Williams, who was a top 100 recruit at quarterback. So that was a huge get. We got Marquez Beeson, who's top 150 at corner. You know, he's gotten some high-profile guys. We now have a pipeline to Trinity Catholic High School, which is a great thing. We've gotten some really great players from them in St. Louis. So that part, that aspect, a lot of Illini fans are like, hey, like, you know, he's still building up a team. But the product on the field is just, it's not good. And a lot of that is a scheme issue. So a lot of Illini fans are kind of stuck in the middle between, do we keep the scheme and keep Lovie Smith's scheme? Or do we, and on that side, you also get a decent amount of some great recruiting in the last 3 years, probably the best we've had since Ron Zook. Do we stick with that, or do we go to a new guy, maybe lose that pipeline, but get a better scheme? So we're somewhere stuck in the middle. I'd like to say more people will be on the fire Lovie side after this game this weekend.
Yeah, that's interesting because, like you said, it's almost you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place where if you've got the recruiting stuff set up, you want to maybe keep them going. But at the same time, how long do you keep that going when you're not seeing success on the field? And, you know, that's a tough situation around for a lot of college football programs who are starting to get, you know, things going that way, that it just it's a tough decision. And thankfully, the fans don't have to make that decision. The higher ups will. But it'd be interesting to see how that plays out down the stretch for Illini. But getting into this week's game, and obviously Illinois, you know, lost four straight, but it's homecoming, and Wisconsin has the Ohio State next week in a possible top 5-6 matchup. Is this probably the most favorable spot you could catch a team like Wisconsin given the situation so far?
For us, I wish we had you guys towards the end of the season personally, because this would be a great game to fire Lovie Smith at. But and I just say that because I don't know how familiar you are with our situation, but he's also our defensive coordinator, and his son is also a defensive coach, so we really don't have anyone who would step up in that position.
Sure.
So we can't get rid of him this midseason, but I'd say so. I mean, our season's pretty much over already, so really no better time to get Wisconsin than right now.
Right. I mean, yeah, and it's more so definitely for the Badgers with that situational spot of, you know, obviously you play a team that struggled, and you're looking towards the next week possibly, you know, with Ohio State, and, you know, a huge game with implications where maybe you catch you know, a team like Illinois who's kind of reeling a little bit, and you get their best effort when they've got a team like that in. So it'd be interesting to see. On the field, you know, you've talked about the scheme and kind of the struggles that's gone on so far. And it seems from an outsider perspective like myself that it's kind of been in the passing game. As obviously, I know you guys have Reggie Corbin, who I've long said, you know, on our show is a really underrated back for the Illini. And the passing game's kind of been the struggle. So is there any, you know, in particular reason for that, or any reason for the struggles in the passing game?
Yeah, well, you know, that Michigan game is a little bit of an outlier. So is Minnesota, just because Brandon Peters has been injured for a couple of weeks. His last performance, I think, was at Minnesota is where he got injured, but he only played half that game. And his last big game was Nebraska, and he put up 38 points that week. But he should be back. We think he's going to be back this week. I don't know how familiar you are with Lovie Smith's press conferences, but he doesn't really say a whole lot about injuries or anything like that. But the thought is that Brandon Peters will be back this week. So the passing game should improve a little bit from Matt Robinson, who is just a guy that kind of going to be a career backup quarterback here at Illinois in all likelihood. But hopefully it'll improve with Brandon Peters a little bit more. But other than that, you know, it's just a big issue. Obviously the Illini want to run the ball a lot with Reggie Corbin, because it, you know, in my eyes, at least last year, he was probably a top 15 running back in college football. He's a great running back. He's a guy we want to give the ball a lot. And really, Peters hasn't lived up to what we thought he would be. You know, back up at Michigan, transferring here, you obviously think, hey, Michigan's good. Like, this guy might give us a chance. He was a five-star or four- or five-star recruit coming out of high school, but just hasn't lived up to what we thought he'd be. So, I'd lay most of the fault on the passing game on him. I still really like our offense coordinator, Rod Smith, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Obviously, Wisconsin fans know the name Brandon Peters pretty well from you know his time at Michigan, and obviously that unfortunate injury for him, and that kind of derailed his career there. He at that time he was kind of looking like maybe a promising prospect for the Wolverines, and it just hasn't really panned out for him since that Andrew Van Ginkle collarbone hit. So. That'll be interesting to see, though, as if he comes back and bounces back, how that changes their offense, you know, around Reggie Corbin, because obviously, like you said, he looks like a tremendous runner. I remember him last year; he busted that 80-yard run on the Badgers, and I was like, man, this guy is pretty solid. And you know, it's a league deep with talented running backs, but he's definitely doesn't get the credit that he should. Going off Corbin, because obviously that's kind of the Badgers fans' name that they might know, along with Brandon Peters. But who is one player that Wisconsin fans might not know that should be on the lookout in this Wisconsin-Illinois matchup?
Josh Amortebebe is the guy you have to look out for. Wide receiver. He is from USC. He's a guy who probably could be the second guy in that wide receiver core at USC. But honestly, he has a chance to get drafted this year. Big hands. He's a big guy. He'll go up and get the ball. He's not as fast as like a slot wide receiver, but he is a serious threat against the passing game. If they leave him one-on-one, good chance whoever's quarterback will throw it up and try and have him bring it down. So that's the one guy I'd say that you definitely have to look out for.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's, you know, we talked about that in our, when we were going over Illinois, it looked like you had some talent in the receiving room and in the receiving core. It was just more a matter of, you know, finding a guy that can consistently get them the football. Is that kind of the case, is what you're saying?
This is the best wide receiving core we've had in a really long time. He's the best wide receiver we've had for sure since Geronimo Allison. And I hope Bucky fans know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, man, I hate that guy. But now I do. But, yeah, he's definitely the best we've had since him.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's a name to note. And then who's the guy that's leading you guys in sacks? I see his name. I know he's really good, but I can't pronounce the name. So
Wole Batiku is his name.
There it is. Wole Batiku.
He's also from USC. We actually got three guys from USC this summer. He is, other than being a fantastic player, he's super cool in real life too. I've got the pleasure to interview him a couple times. He plays guitar and paints. He's a really cool dude, but
nice.
So really good on the field. So
yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, we were talking about it earlier. He's got, he's one spot behind Chase Young in total sacks, and you see how much attention, a guy like Chase Young's got at Ohio State. So the Badger fans will certainly have to be looking out for him. Yeah. In the pass protection game, because he's had a solid season so far. Okay, well, the last question, and we asked this to all our guests that come on from our opposing team sites, and we ask them to fill in the blank. So Illinois wins this game if blank.
If Reggie Corbin rushes for 300 yards.
300. That would be an impressive feat, given what Wisconsin's had on defense so far. But, it sounds like, obviously, from your perspective, I'd have to imagine, to win this game, Reggie Corbin's, like you said, got to go off, right?
He has to have a huge game. As long as if he rushes for, 200 yards, that opens up our passing game a little bit more, and maybe we have a chance. But this is as close to a sure thing as you could possibly get for Wisconsin.
Well, I appreciate the honesty, and I'm sure Badger fans will be happy to hear that. And, I've never had a problem with Illinois, so I hope things kind of turn around for you guys. But I hope they turn around next week and not this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, we appreciate you coming on the show. It's always good to get an insider perspective, because, we really only see, either a few quick glimpses of a team or some box scores or information that way. So it's good to have some insider perspective. So we thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, Badger fans, that wraps up another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And we will catch you guys on Tuesday for our Illinois recap on Wisconsin. We'll be right back.